The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 8, 1989 in Madras, Tamil Nadu, India. The class begins with a lecture from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 10th Chapter, 9th Verse.
Personality in the universe because of his causeless devotional service unto the Lord in mature transcendental knowledge. He therefore created all the 14 planetary systems, divisions. He therefore created all the 14 planetary divisions for inhabitation by the different types of living entities. Purport. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of all the qualities of the living entities. The conditioned souls in the material world reflect only part of those qualities, and therefore they are sometimes called pratibimbas. These pratibimba living entities, as part and parcels of the Supreme Lord, have inherited different proportions of His original qualities. And in terms of their inheritance of these qualities, they appear as different species of life and are accommodated in different planets according to the plan of Brahma. Brahma is the creator of the three worlds, namely the lower planets called the Patala Lokas, the middle planets called the Bhur Lokas, and the upper planets called the Swar Lokas. Still higher planets such as Maharloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka, and Brahma Loka do not dissolve in the devastating water. This is because of the causeless devotional service rendered unto the Lord by their inhabitants, whose existence continues up to the end of the Dwiparartha time, when they are generally liberated from the chain of birth and death in the material world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 9, chapter 10, canto 3, in the chapter entitled Divisions of the Creation. Om Tat Sat. The Sanskrit again is Etavan jiva lokasya sangsta veda samahitaha dharmasya hyanimittasya vipaka parameshyasau. So, Lord Brahma gets his power to perform the visarga, or the secondary creation, due to his rendering of unalloyed devotional service unto the Lord. The situation at the beginning of the universe is described here by Maitreya Rishi, Maitreya Muni, to Vidura. That when Brahma was born on the lotus, he didn't know his origin. So by meditation, he became mature in transcendental knowledge and practical knowledge, jnana vijnana. In fact, before, in the beginning, there was a huge wind coming in the universe, and that wind was blowing him, and some water was also accumulating. So even Lord Brahma had to deal with like hurricanes and with flooding in the beginning, but then by his transcendental knowledge, he had acquired some spiritual strength. He also had some practical knowledge what to do in such circumstances. He just followed the wind and all the water, and everything became peaceful. But it's interesting how even Brahma Dev, he had to also struggle in the beginning with some aspects of material nature. Of course, he could overcome those. But being in this material world means it's a struggle for existence. Whether you're a Brahma or whether you're a little bug, Brahma may be more equipped to deal with the problems than a bug. The reason why is given in this verse, that because he has rendered causeless devotional service, he gets the ability to cross over the difficulties. Through penances and austerities, one can cross over material obstacles. Modern scientists have crossed over many of the obstacles or tried to solve them by a lot of hard work. In their scientific research, they do a lot of austerity, stay up day and night studying. Even some of those scientists, they died testing their own serum. No one would test in the old times, so they shoot it into themselves, and sometimes they die, sometimes they get cured. They did a lot of material austerity. So this way, they developed certain material solutions to their material problems. It didn't come just easily. But it's recommended that the best way of overcoming all material problems is by rendering devotional service. By rendering devotional service, by reestablishing our relationship with Krishna, then it's easy to cross over material obstacles and to achieve something much higher. It's also explained here that created 14 planetary systems, Bhur, Bhuva, Swar. And some of these planets are so elevated, or some are even in a more superior position, because all of the residents of the planet are rendering devotional service. They said the residents of Satyaloka, they can return with Lord Brahma back to the spiritual world when the final dissolution of the universe comes. And other residents of higher planets, they make a dash to get up to Satyaloka in order to go back with Lord Brahma to the spiritual world. If they make it in time, they go back. Otherwise, they miss the bus, so to speak. They miss the train. Once that Lord Brahma left, I don't think there's any chance. As far as what I remember in the description, I had to study it clearly, but everyone has to get there when Lord Brahma goes back to the spiritual world. Those who are with him, they get to go also. As far as I remember, that is a description given. So, if you don't make it at the end of the universe up to Brahmaloka, it's not possible to make it from this planet. You have to be Mahaloka, some of these very exalted planets, there's a chance. Tapaloka, maybe Indraloka. Some of the great demigods, they can make it in time. The whole universe is on the final destruction. Brahma is going to leave, the universe is going to close down. So, that's a normal way that one can get back to Godhead by doing good works, being very pious, acting. You gradually go to the highest planets in the material universe, you render devotional service to Krishna. Not only material good works, but good works with devotion. Then eventually one becomes more and more pious by rendering unalloyed devotion. One can stay on those planets once you're there. So normally to get back to Godhead requires staying the whole lifetime of Brahma. Lord Brahma is in the planet, is rather in this universe for the two parardas, two halves of his life. Now we're in the second parardha, beginning of the second half. But one day of Brahma is explained as, 340 million years. Isn't it? Times 1,000. And they calculated that the whole lifetime of Brahma comes to something in the hundreds of trillions of years. So one would have to remain, you know, at least say half of that, couple hundred trillion years in this universe and one of the upper planetary systems to get out with Lord Brahma. But here Lord Chaitanya is offering a free ticket. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Render devotional service in the Sankirtan movement. Give up sense gratification. Give up the desire for trying to be happy simply through the senses. Do everything in devotional service of chanting, rendering his service. And you can get back even in one lifetime. So that's inconceivable. The demigods, they can't believe it. I mean, they are so amazed by this great fortune that they are crying how to get down and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. His movement is only in the universe once in a day of Brahma. And for just some thousands of years, which by the calculation of the demigods is like a few days. It's like maybe a month or two. Because one of our years is
1 day.
So 1,000 years means like 1,000 years means like 3 of their years. So it's here for like 3 years. So they might be a little busy, tied up. They miss the whole thing. So they are themselves, they're very eager. And Lord Chaitanya's pastime of 40 years, 48 years on the planet, that's 48 days. So they want to get down and be part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. May not be possible for all of them. They're already living there. How they'll get down here? How they'll take birth? They're going to live for a long time. So they are actually very, I don't know the right word, whether to say jealous or they're like, they feel how fortunate the people here on this planet are to be able to participate in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. They're crying to be able to come down and join. So here we're given this opportunity. When Swayambhuva Manu went to see Kardamamuni wanted to get married, experience grihastha life, and then enter into sannyas. So he got a blessing from Krishna that he could do that. So after getting that blessing from Lord Vishnu, the Swayambhuva Manu came and approached him and said, actually I have a very nice daughter, Devahuti. She's a great princess. She's the brother of the two great emperors of the universe, Uttanapada and what's the other, Priyavrata. And she wants to marry you because she's heard from Narada Muni about your qualities of austerity, of penance, of spirituality, culture. So I am offering my daughter to marry to you in marriage. But if you don't accept, when you are a person who wants to get married, I know that I'm coming to you without you asking me and I'm offering you. Now if you don't accept for some reason, this can put you in a very difficult situation, because someone who wants something and it comes, that very thing comes without any endeavor, that should always be accepted. Otherwise, you don't accept, later you'll be searching yourself how to get that thing, and you may ask someone, and they may reject you and treat you badly, and it'll be very bad for your prestige and your honor. So when something comes of its own accord, and the thing is the very thing you want, you just take it without hesitation. Like this, he gave so many arguments, how of course, ultimately, Kardama Muni accepted. But that example, because Swayambhuva Manu, one of the Manus, they're the experts in morality in the universe, experts in logic and scriptural knowledge. He's saying if something comes, and that's the thing you want, you should take it. It comes of it. So here, thing is coming, given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which everyone wants, eternal happiness, eternal life. There's no difficulty at all to practice Krishna consciousness. Process is quite simple. Only difficulty comes from our own attachments and mind. Difficulties that are in the material world, whether we're a devotee or not a devotee, there's going to be difficulties. Even Brahma is facing wind storms and other things. But actually practice is quite simple. But here we're given this offer, this chance. If we don't accept it, then even if someone's a very pious person and they take birth in some higher planet, they'll have to wait trillions of years possibly before they get out of this universe, before they can achieve the lotus feet of the Lord, which Lord Chaitanya is offering now. Take it. In a few years, we can achieve it. You can understand how important, what a great opportunity we're getting. Once someone asks, what will happen if the whole world becomes devoted? Then what will, in a challenging way, what will happen? So, well, if the whole world becomes devotees, so you won't need any prison houses. So, but that's not a problem. There's always, criminals to fill prison houses. But even if you say, if the whole world became devoted, then here are just this answer is given in this verse. Some planets where the whole planet is devoted, that even when there's a dissolution, a devastating water, those planets don't get destroyed. Probably the whole planet can be transferred to the spiritual world. whereas it might be difficult to get the whole planet. There'll always be a few diehards sticking around. But our goal is like, let one planet right go back to the spiritual world. That's very nice. Or at least let us give all the residents in this planet an opportunity to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, to hear the chanting of the holy name, to get the Mahaprasad of Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani. Then we can go back easily. The people are so foolish. They don't know the value. It's like if you went around with a real diamond and you wanted to give it, you went door to door and said, I want to give you this diamond. It's worth 1 crore. People say, get out of here. Really? You're crazy or something? Nobody gives away a diamond worth 1 crore. You're just joking. It must be glass or something. They won't take you serious. It may be a real diamond. You want to give it to someone. You got that dream. Let me give this diamond. You try to give the people, you know. People. Probably even in the airport in America, if you went to get every person trying to give them diamond, they think, who is this crazy guy? He's just joking with me. Maybe some simple guy, he'll take it, just, you know, give it to my kid for playing or something. All right, I'll take it here. The baby will eat it or something. People don't know the value. We're trying to give them the most valuable thing. They think, no, that's all right, yes, yes. But I want to build a hospital, I want to do some rituals that we can achieve highest benefit by just chanting the names of the Lord, by simply chanting. I won't say just, because chanting is the most exalted process. But simply by chanting, we can achieve all. So the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they are understood, realize the importance. They want to give this opportunity to everyone. But unfortunately, the people, you know, they're less than interested in many cases. So just systematically, we're trying to distribute books, trying to build up their awareness. They don't even know what is spiritual life. They don't know what is the spiritual world. They don't know that. They have very poor information about what is the total existence that we're in, how they fit in. So we have to systematically, you're not this body, your spirit soul, this is one planet in the whole universe, this planet. We have to educate them from the bottom up, so that eventually they can understand in perspective what is the importance. Actually, if people are pious, they can just go on chanting. Even without understanding, they can go back to Krishna. That's how wonderful it is. But most people, if they don't know what it means, they may chant for a while, someone will tell them something, they'll go do something else. They won't be fixed. Because the mind is always fluctuating. So therefore we give them knowledge so that they can fix their mind. Yes, this is the purpose of life, I should stick to it. If we, at least Prabhupada said, at least, alright, forget the whole world. I mean, at least he said, let one society, let one organization practice pure devotional service. Let there be one example in the world of rendering pure devotional service. Whether everyone else does it or doesn't do it, we're trying to let everyone do it. But if they do it, at least let us do it for Srila Prabhupada. So that people can see, alright, this is the process of devotional service. And those who are coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, to whatever extent they come in contact, surely they'll get the mercy of Krishna. It's just like a bundle of mercy. Anywhere you bite into it, it's all nectar. It's all mercy for them. That's why our Lochan Das Thakur, he's saying that that song, that Vishaya Acharya Se Rase Mojiya Muke Bolo Hori Hori. Vishaya Acharya, give up the desire, the attempt for happiness to sense gratification. Give up type of sense gratificatory activities. Vishaya Acharya Se Rase Mojiya. Absorb yourself in that transcendental ecstasy of pure devotional service. Kusmitai Gora Chandra Gimi. Muke Bolo Hari Hari. Wow, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The process is very simple, can be explained in a few words, but it is so sublime. Of course, to give up Vishaya, to give up sense gratification, anyone has to know what is sense gratification, what is devotional service. Ideology is very simple, very sublime, but it's most profound. And one understands he is the key for the whole universal secret. How to understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. How to develop our pure love for Krishna. Again, it just spontaneously comes from the heart. So, when the demigods heard that Lord Chaitanya has come, then he was sitting in the lap of his mother, Sachi. They came into his house when his father was sleeping in a side room. They put up a big shinghasana and took baby Chaitanya from the lap of his mother, placed him on the golden throne, and started to perform abhisheka, chanting mantras and doing puja to him. Mother Sachi wanted to scream out. She didn't know her house is filled with all these soldiers with big helmets and armor and such a noise it was making. She said, who are these people taking my son? She said, I wanted to scream, but she was frozen. They just looked at her and she couldn't move. So she's watching what's going on. They're bathing, they're offering prayers, they're bowing down, doing a whole puja to my baby Nimai. Then they, after finishing that puja, they put Lord Chaitanya down, cleared away all the paraphernalia. Lord Chaitanya walked over on the veranda to where his father was sleeping in the room, and she said, yes, she was thinking, wake up your father, wake up your father. But she couldn't speak, she was just thinking. As if he could read her mind, he walked over, looked in the room, saw that his father was asleep, walked back on the veranda, and he just went like this to the devas. Chant Hare Krishna! And then all the devas, they all started to do a big kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They started to chant the pastimes of baby Krishna. And while the kirtan is going on, then baby Chaitanya started to dance. He's like 3 years old, this baby to walk. He started to also dance, and they're all dancing a big kirtan. Mother Sachi is watching them, what's going on? Seeing all the devas dancing, you know, seeing her baby dance like that, she fainted. When she fainted, her body hit the ground. That made actually some noise. She just, boom, collapsed. That noise was heard by Jagannath Mishra. He couldn't hear all the mantras and mantras and everything. It was like on another dimension. He just heard that noise. Sachi? Sachi? Are you alright? What was that noise? Then she woke up hearing Jagannath Mishra's voice. She started crying. She's like hysterical. He ran out. What's the matter? What's the matter? She jumped up and embraced him, and she's just crying. She said, get together. What's the matter? Tell me, why are you crying? She looked around there. Devi Nimai is in the sun in the courtyard playing around, just like a little baby, the ordinary. And then she told him everything that happened. Is it a dream? Did it really happen? He looked around. There's no sign of any, you know, no yogurt, no all the milk. He didn't. He said, well, I don't see any. Maybe it was just a dream. Anyway, everything is all right. Don't worry. Of course, when Mother Sachi saw him walk to see Jagannath Mishra, she could hear ankle bells with every step, ching, ching, ching. But he looked at Lord Chaitanya's feet, there are no ankle bells. Later on, when they saw Lord Chaitanya hearing ankle bells, they looked, and again they saw his feet had no ankle bells, but they could hear the sound, and they thought, oh, maybe those things did happen. Like, so here all the devas, they came from the different planets to come and worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did he do? Chant Hare Krishna. So he's telling us the same instruction, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Any questions? Whatever you like. Some certain higher planets.
No hay completa ausencia de conciencia Krishna.
is completely absent in the presence of Krishna consciousness. Not in higher planetary systems. In higher planetary systems, what's considered swarga? To be a swarga vashi, you have to be a deva. To be a deva means you have to respect Vishnu. So, some amount of devotional service is there, but mixed with fruitive activity, mixed with jnana. But some bhakti has to be there. That's why it's considered a higher planet. Although one time we heard in a morning walk, Bhakti, Divine Grace, Vishnupad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was walking and he could see the, you know, in the daytime you can sometimes see the moon, or maybe it was a night walk, but it was on some walk, he saw the moon and he said, now in Chandraloka, they're becoming Bishoyi, they're becoming absorbed in sense gratification. They're practically devoid of Krishna consciousness. So we have to go there and preach. To instill again in them the Krishna consciousness. Everybody's like, you know, going to the moon for preaching, you know. Amazing. So, the devotees, for us, we're not care higher or lower planet. We go anywhere for the same purpose, preaching Krishna consciousness. Yes, in higher planets, there's some Krishna consciousness, but sometimes they get absorbed in sense gratification, generally. And because of sense gratification, too much, they forget about Krishna. That's a danger. But generally, to get there, one has to be somewhat devoted, has to be a devotee. There are some, at least religious atmosphere. There are lower planetary systems which are very opulent, where there's a lot of sense gratification, but which are totally devoid of, practically devoid of God consciousness. But they're considered hellish planet because they're just doing material sense gratification. They're taking their reaction of their pious activity and enjoying, but because they're not devoted, they're doing it in a totally materialistic platform. So those are considered lower planets, even though they're having some sense gratification, because there's no spirituality. It's a dead-end road. At least in the higher planet, there's a scope for developing your Krishna consciousness. But they may neglect it sometimes. In the lower planet, if there's no God consciousness, it's just like animal life, but maybe a little sophisticated, they're enjoying it. It's a dead-end. But even those planets, we can go to preach. One devotee goes to a place, even there people are not devoted at all. By the presence of a devotee, he can change the whole situation. Srila Prabhupada, by just going to some place, he made the place devoted, made them spiritualized. Intended? Ma Sundar, any question?
The water day. King like
Parikshit
Maharaj, why they are going for hunting, even though they are very
quiet? You see, the Vedic culture is very practical. And the Kshatriyas, they had a different code of conduct. Vedic culture understood that in order to govern, you had to have military power. Because the criminal elements in society will not listen to your kind words. They have to be controlled by force. The honest people, they'll listen to words and law and reason. But the criminals, if there's not a powerful government with a powerful military and police, they'll wreak havoc on the innocent public. So because the Kshatriyas were practical rulers who also were supposed to be chivalrous, they were not supposed to sit in some room in a distant place and push buttons and tell the citizens go out and die in some political war. If they thought a war was important, they had to go in the front line and fight it with their soldiers. That was the system. They had to come back with some wounds. So that everyone knew that. And they think it's important, so they're ready to sacrifice their life, we're ready to sacrifice ours, we're with our ruler. And not everyone would fight, the Kshatriyas would fight. So in a peacetime, just like they have military exercises now, they go out, they shoot different type of tracing bullets at each other. Every time a few hundred people die because they don't aim it right, few bullets are their real bullets. But they have in Europe so many times, this Allied NATO, Warsaw Pact, they used to have all these exercises. Now, I read in a paper yesterday, they're doing it by computer game. Saves a lot of money, they say. They just do it by computer. All the generals sit there with the computers and they fight each other by computer. No soldier goes out. Just all figures and things. So, but the Kshatriyas, they had to practically go out. So to practice, they'd go out and hunt. Say there's some man-eating tiger, they go out and kill the tiger. There's some big demon. But sometimes there's no tiger, there's no demon. So they go out and hunt. They could even kill a deer. That was allowed for them. Otherwise, how to hit a moving tiger? In a war, if the people don't just stand there still, say, here I am, shoot me with an arrow. They run, they move, they fight back. So at least, you know, if you can't find a tiger or some big giant or something to fight with, some demon, then they're shooting some deer running. They had that license. That's the defect of being a Kshatriya. You had to go out and fight and kill criminals. Sometime when they're so peaceful, no one to fight, they go out and just do hunting. To keep their skills accurate, otherwise they're just sitting in the palace all the time doing their court intrigues, how they'll be able to protect the kingdom. So they have to know how to ride their horse, they have to go through the forest and how to hunt. So at least that sharpens some of their practical skills in that environment. Now of course, you know, everything is by tanks and nuclear weapons and missiles, so it's a different situation. But in those days, it was done by personal combat. So the innocent people were, now if they throw a bomb, it's not a question of Kshatriyas dying. Everyone dies. Women, children, babies, old people. It's a massacre. Uncivilized. People are complaining why the Kshatriyas are killing deer, going hunting. But when the Kshatriyas would fight, the Kshatriyas fight against Kshatriyas. Now if there's a war, they kill everyone. So what is more civilized? Let the Kshatriyas be ready to fight. If there's a war, let them fight it out. And then whoever wins, they follow the government. They're the new government. But they have to follow the Vedic culture and the Brahmins. So it's a totally different culture. You have to see the whole thing in context. Then you say, all right, Kshatriyas have got certain problems. I mean, the sadhus, they won't even go and... They don't like to. The Lord Chaitanya refused to let the king see him. He said, I'm a sannyasi. The kings are materialistic people. They're doing all these things. You see, they have a license to do, but that doesn't mean I, as a spiritualist, I don't want to associate with such materialistic people. The only way the king could see him, and not as a king, he had to go in disguise as a Vaishnava, very humbly, then he could see. The Brahmins were so exalted. The king, if they wanted to see a Brahmin, they had to go like this, just like a humble person. That was the previous culture. So they got blessings from the Brahmins and instruction, and this was the way they could manage the kingdom in a spiritual way. But they had to do this dirty work, so to do that they had to practice, they had to know how to do it. Brahmins didn't want to go out and fight. Let the Kshatriyas do it. So anyway, they could fight, they could risk their life, they could also enjoy certain material opulence. They're in a mode of passion, pure passion, with spiritualism. They had to be religiously trained. Then that passion became purified. Hare Krishna.